Well, amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Good, 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 good. Well, I love the Lord too. I know that the Lord is here. I know that God is God in the valley, and God is God on the mountaintop. And so wherever you're at today, I want you to know that God is still God in your life. He has not failed you. He has not left you. He sent the Comforter, and He sent the Holy Spirit to help you. And you know what? I like to get people involved because, see, people like to play that game, I can't feel Jesus. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to walk up in here and not feel His presence, because His presence is here. Wow. See, our circumstances and our situations and our things that we allow ourselves to do that we shouldn't do, that's what keeps us from feeling God. That's what keeps the prayers held up. And so you know what, church? Let's be active today. Let's stand to our feet. Husband, you sweet little thing, if you'll put us on some standing to our feet music, we're going to feel Jesus. We're going to welcome Him in here. If this makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. We ain't worried about your comfort here. I know that sounds ugly. We're worried about the Lord being comfortable up in here. Amen. All righty. We're still waiting. This is a teaching church. Right now, we're waiting on the sound. And we're going to keep waiting, because you know what? We teach here. We're going to teach you how to live your life. We're going to teach you how to prosper, how to be in health, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank You, God, for every single thing that You're doing. Lord God, I thank You that anybody, God, that is struggling with addiction right now. And God, I'm not just talking about drugs. I'm not just talking about alcohol. God, I thank You, God, that every addiction of the mind right now, in Jesus' name, God, that it's broke. Every healing that needs to take place in every person right now, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You that You've touched their body. God, that You've touched every single family in this building right now. God, let them prosper. God, help them to be in health. Lord God, help every marriage in here right now, in Jesus' name. God, from the youngest to the oldest, God, bless each person, God, with Your Holy Spirit. God, help every single person. And God, right now, we welcome You into this place, God, to have Your way. God, we make You bigger than any problem that's going on right now. If you've got a problem, I want you to call out to Jesus. Jesus loves you, and He's concerned about your problem. He knows how to help you. He knows right where that special touch needs to be. And right now, God, I thank You that You've already come up with the solution, in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen, and you can sit down. And, you know, all week long, I've just come into people, into situations, and even in my own life where I say, God, why do I keep doing that thing I know is wrong? God, why do I keep doing that thing I hate? You do anything that you hate, and you do it, and you hate when you do it. You may know that it's wrong when you do it, but yet you do it. Well, no amens. Well, you know what? Let me tell you, this message will create some honesty. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 15. We're going to start there. And it says, I do not understand what I do. And let me tell you something. One of the biggest problems in the world today is we've got all these smart folks, and we're trying to smart everything up. I'm going to dumb it down today. Stop trying to understand certain things. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and it's sick. And above all else, who could ever really know it? See, you don't know your heart. You're sitting here and you're caught up in a sin, or you're caught up in a struggle, and you're sitting there going, I don't even understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. See, we want to understand things, and you know what? The devil will get you so blinded and drunk on your problem that you won't even understand who you are anymore. You'll become somebody that you never thought that you could be. You'll do things that you never thought that you could do. Sin will make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. It'll make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. And Dad, what it will do?
Sin will make you stay
longer than you wanted to stay. Pay more than you wanted to pay. And it's going to make you go further than you ever wanted to go. Have you gone further today than you've ever wanted to go? Amen. And it says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do it.
That's right.
See, there's things in your heart, and you say, man, I want to do that, and you have every anticipation on doing the right thing. And the moment that you set your mind to doing the right thing, there you've done the wrong thing. Why do we do that? And we can't even understand why we're doing that. See, God doesn't want His kids confused. God wants you blessed. God wants you whole. God wants you prosperous. And God doesn't want you to be in lack. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the things that money just can't buy you. Like that peace that passes all understanding. See, there's things, most things in this life that go on in your life, you won't understand them. But see, God said, I'll send a peace. It's going to pass all that understanding if you can tap into it. And a lot of us have forfeited our peace, our joy, our happiness, our wholeness. See, when you're walking around broken on the inside, you know it. You feel it. You know it. And it says, what I want to do, I don't do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that's living in me. Now, let me tell you something. There's sin that you partake in. You may tell a fib. You may do this. You may do a number 10. You may do a number 3. We're not going to get all technical. We know what sin is. Does anybody know what, everybody know what sin is? Or do I need to explain it? Do we all have a very good grasp on what I'm talking about? Okay. You know what, Michelle? I have to ask. I've grown up in church my whole life, and I know there's certain things that when people get in church, they don't understand. So I'm going to make sure everybody understands what we're talking about here today. That's why I asked. If you don't understand sin, we'll go over that today instead. But you know what? There's sin that you partake in, but then there's sin that you live in. See, it says, why do I do the thing I don't want to do? It's the sin that's living in me. And you know what? You cannot. See, the Holy Spirit dwells up in there. You can't serve two masters. If you've got torment and turmoil up in your soul, that's why. Right there. And so it says, the sin is living in me. I know nothing good that lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good. See, are you here today? Do you have the desire to do what's good? Let's see what else he says. But I can't carry it out. See, there's people, I used to think everybody was just horrible. Albie, they don't want to change. That's how you get when you get in the ministry. You think, oh, you just get cynical. I don't believe that. I believe that most people have the thing in them that says, I want to do better. I don't want to be that way. I don't understand why I'm doing this, but I do it.
That's right.
See? And there's something in there that's hindering you to be able to carry out the thing that you want to do. See, God put that thing up in there. The devil knows it. He's scared of it. He'll do anything he can do to not let it come out. See, why can't you carry that out? That's what we're talking about today. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No one evil. Now, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin that's living in me that's doing it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. That just gets all wordy. We're going to simplify that. There is something that gets next to people. And most people, they don't even have a problem identifying what it is. They know what it is. They know that thing. You wake up in the morning and you feel that thing that's coming in between you and what you're supposed to be doing, that's coming in between you and what God called you to do, the thing that's coming in between you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I've talked to so many people, and this week I've even caught myself. How in the world, God? Man, I'm a fighter. I'll fight till the bitter end. How can I not lick this? I told somebody this week, you know how many times I thought I have forgiveness licked with this person? every day for 11 months. And I wake up, and there's that devil. I'll get up in the morning, KK, and by golly, before my toe has touched the carpet, I've done had an argument with myself in my head with them. Now, don't act like you don't do that. Don't act like, see, I'll tell my problem, and I'll tell you just how it is, but see, what are you dealing with? See, there's things, and they come up. Man, maybe it's a secret sin. Maybe it's a this. Maybe it's a that. You don't want to do that. I believe that about every person, almost every person that I meet. They don't want to be doing that thing. But by golly, they'll start their day, and before they know it, they're right up in the middle of that. And you know what? God says it's high time to be free from that. See, your whole life doesn't need to be revolved around the thing that you can't carry out. Because we serve a God that's bigger than what you cannot do. We serve a God that can get that going the right direction for you. And so it says, "For in my inner being I delight, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my member." And then it just goes on and he just says, "Man, what a wretched man I am." And you know what? That's how it goes. You ever get into doing something that you shouldn't be doing? And for a while, there's a lot of gratification in that. And instantly, right after that, do you not feel the guilt that's coming on? Do you not feel that thing that's going on in your soul? And you know, man, sometimes when I go to bed at night, and I've had a real hate day, where I've let myself binge, like when you're binging Netflix, man. I ate probably 4 donuts that Brenda Jackson brought over my house last night. God bless her soul. 4 of them. I'm over there binging that Netflix, and that's how your sin is. That thing that makes you not be able to carry out what you want to do. You'll sit there and you'll binge on whatever that is. You'll let yourself in your mind, you'll let yourself just have about 10 binging donuts right there. See, and you ain't done nothing for God that day because, see, you were binging. Sometimes we got to decide, are we going to binge or are we going to suit up and show up? We're going to do something that's difficult, that may make you uncomfortable, that may make you whatever. See, we've got a generation that's all wrapped up in how they feel. Man, your heart will get you feeling all sorts of ways. And you hear people, "Well, my heart... let me do it. My heart can't help who it loves. My heart this and my heart that." No, you stop blaming stuff on your heart. And you take some ownership. Because, see, it's us. It's us that's given that permission for that. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Alrighty. And it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Now, God has really began to deal with me on this because sometimes, see, when you're tempted or when you're struggling with something, you'll sit there and you'll be struggled. God will take you out of it. He'll help you to get out of that. And you still have the mind frame that you had when you were in that. Now let me go a little further because that sounds wordy too. I'm going to elaborate on that very thought. Now look, I got up into something. And for 13 years, over the course of 13 years, I let myself develop a mind frame that it was okay to be hateful, that it was okay to be walking in unforgiveness, that it was okay to be bitter. See, what have we justified today? It's okay for me to do this. God will understand. Yeah, God understands it. God understands that you're doing what you want to do. See, we love to justify. We love to play that blame game like, oh, man, when I do something really terrible, Melissa, I love to blame it on somebody else. God, I was that hateful because did you see how hateful they were? I mean, come on, it's canceled itself out pretty much. That ain't right, you know. But anyways, so I got up in something, and I was walking down my stairways one day, and see, things will tear you up. It's the inward thing that tears you up so bad that you can't, that starts getting you to feel like how I've described. Why do I keep doing the thing I don't want to do? Why is it the thing I want to do I can't carry out? Why can I not do the right thing? See, have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever got so sick and tired of being wrong or doing the wrong thing where it's just started to chip away at you, where it started to break you, where you thought, Angel, there's been times where I thought, there must be a real screw loose because any normal person would have been able to stop this. See? And then we start, that's a whole other subject, starting to think about normal people. There is no normal person. But I was walking down my stairways one day, and I just felt that moment where something in me just kind of split in two. That part of me that knows what's right, that part of me that knows what's wrong. And I just started to cry, Alvie. And I look crazy when I'm in my house half the time, because half the time I'm talking to myself and the other half the time I'm crying about something. If I ain't crying, you better look out, because that means I'm probably agitated. And that ain't no good. I was a little agitated this morning. I mean, right before church, them kids are going to think I'm going to break their toe. There's not even nothing you can do about a broken toe, but it still doesn't take away from the fact they decided they was going to think about breaking their toe today. But anyways, I was coming down my stairs, and I said, God, I'm so tired of playing this game. I'm so tired of being wrong. And then I said something, Miss Mary, that really even astounded myself. God, I don't know how to be right. See, I've gotten that reprobate mind where I've started justifying those things that I've done, those things that I've said, those things that I've acted out in my mind to where, Angel, I didn't even know how to be right. And I said, God, whatever it takes right now, you do. Now, let me tell you something. God did whatever it took. God knew exactly what it would take. And you know what? God delivered me from a bad situation. But you know what? The situation was bad, but you know what? I may have been worse. Don't all amen me at once. Y'all's perfect. Gotcha. So anyhow, God will deliver you, but you'll still have that mind frame of how you had yourself when you was in that mess. See, because for the past 11 months, I've still felt some of that turmoil that doesn't want to let me go. And God said, Kelly, I have freed you from that, but yet you still are going on in your mind like nothing changed. You know? And let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16. And we're talking about temptation today. We're talking about sin. But we're talking about things that you're doing, maybe I'm doing, you may be thinking, maybe I'm thinking. I think people just have a problem with this in general. You'll wake up with the best thoughts that you're going to carry out that day, and before you know it, you have screwed that up somehow. You have messed that up. Yep. Now, am I preaching to just Dad here? Because he's amen to me and nobody else is. See, we're real people. We get down to the nitty-gritty of this. Angel's looking at me like, oh my God. I've heard that I get more and more like my dad every day, and I'm pretty sure that is how it is, and that's not a bad thing. So, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when? By his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Now let me tell you something that I've learned. And if I've learned anything in the past couple of years, this is what I've learned. I've learned, you know how it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Don't let the sun go down on your sin. Because if you do, you're just getting a collection of it. Every day that you go on and you haven't made that thing right, that's just heaping up on itself. A couple of weeks ago, I was terrible to Jeremy. I've learned to try to not be terrible to my husband. I don't have that down. I'm also not going to lie about that. I don't like liars, and I'm not one, and I won't lie to you, and I'm not going to start today. But I was terrible to him. Well, I got up in there in that bed, and I laid down, and the Lord started doing his magic work on me. And he said, Kelly, the things you said to Jeremy. I thought, look, if I got to go apologize to Jeremy, that's all the way downstairs, Lord. That is 14 steps. Okay. I already walked up here 14 steps. I don't want to walk down because if I walk down, I got to walk back up. I mean, how many, 14 times three, that's three. I don't even know, but that's too much for me. Man, and I kept trying to go to bed and I kept trying to justify that. Well, what did he say to me? See, really, it don't matter. See, if you've got something that's coming in there between you and what God wants you to do, the thing that you know, man, I'm having trouble. I can't carry out what the thing that I know I should be doing, the thing I don't want to do. I'm doing it left and right. I'm struggling. I'm having trouble. First of all, identify that. And probably most of us has got it identified. Why? Because we do it every day. It's become a part of the day. I said, well, Lord, if you really want me to go apologize to Jeremy, I guess I'll go down there. And about on step seven, my little heart just started feeling like, how could I say those things to Jeremy? By the time I reached him, he didn't want to see me. I had done been ugly. I went down there and he was sitting in his little desk chair, and I put my arm around him, and I just had tears in my eyes, because you know what? If you're trying to get it right, God is going to help you. And you know what he's going to do with you? He's going to start letting you feel conviction. Conviction is different than condemnation and guilt. See, God does not operate out of condemning you. God doesn't operate on making you feel guilty. Now, the devil, that's what the devil does. But see, if you'll sit there and you'll make a commitment to wanting to be able to carry out the thing that you hadn't been able to carry out so far, see, God's going to help you, because he's going to convict that heart when it starts slipping up. Because how we got here to begin with is that little heart getting convicted? Nope, it's okay. Conviction? Nope, I'm justified in this. I'm justified in thinking this way. I'm justified in acting this way. I'm justified in saying that. See, we're not. We're not justified on squat. We're just not. And 11 months ago, Angel, I couldn't hardly feel anything. Because, see, I had let myself stop feeling that conviction. See, when you feel that conviction, get that settled in your soul. I'm going to make that right. I'm not going to let the sun go down on wrath. I'm not going to let the sun go down on sin. If it's sin, it's sin. It'll be sin tomorrow. You don't want it getting any bigger. You don't want it getting any worse. Get it right. Get it solved. I said, oh, Jeremy, I am so sorry. Then I began to think of some other things I was sorry about. I said, Lord, I got to get to bed at some point tonight. I can't go into all what I'm sorry to do to Jer. Like I said, I got to go to bed, you know. But anyways, when your heart is convicting you, that's really God in there trying to help you. See, we do get in these places in our lives where we can't feel. Now, is that true or is that not true? Do you ever get in that way where there's a disconnect and you cannot feel stuff? And you just feel like, I'm just in this place, God, where I can't feel you, where I can't feel nothing. See, you did not get that way overnight. It just compiled itself. And in Jeremiah 17, it says, the heartful is deceitful and above all things, and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? See, nobody can understand your heart because you don't even understand it. God understands it, and He's helping you every step of the way. Now, let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16. Did we already do that? We already did that. Let's go to James chapter 4, 7 through 10. Now, I am trying to minister. Because, see, I'll have these messages and I'll go on. And, Brother Mike, before I ever get a message, I'm always in my king-size bed, but God's always showing me how this message is going out. And see, I'm going to learn how to just preach off of God's word and let God speak to me. I'm not going to need notes. And that's just how it is. My father can preach. I don't even know how he does it. It's beyond me. He can sit there. If you'll ever watch him, it's the neatest thing. He'll sit up there and the whole service, he'll just quote you things. And they're right exactly. And I'm thinking, you know, see, we all got to get to where we're supposed to be at in our lives. We've got to walk in our calling. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to be every bit whole. You know, the thing that you've struggled with, God's got 10 more people to put in your path so you can help them get through that if you could ever get it licked. Life is not our own. We were bought with a price and it was expensive. You know, we like to think, I can do what I want to do. You can. But see, somebody else is paying the price for everything that you decide you're going to do that's out of God's will. See, the people that God had for you to help, will they die? Will they go to hell? Because you wouldn't do what you were supposed to do. Now, I'm not guilt tripping you. I'm just telling you basic facts. God didn't put you on this earth for you to just be to yourself. He put you up here to help, to bring people into His kingdom, to help people. People out there are hurting. People out there need help. They do. We got a lot of broken people up in life. And it says, submit yourselves then to God. See, we got people, I can barely commit whether I want to go to McDonald's or Taco Bell, because I equally don't like either one of them. But really, which one do I want to commit to today? See, we got people that we think, why can't I get things right in my life? Well, can you submit yourself under any type of authority or direction?
There you go.
At all. See, a lot of people want their problems solved. They want to know why they can't carry out what they want to do, but they don't want to listen to any authority. They don't want anybody telling them they was wrong. If you're still justifying what you were doing, we got to come up. Because see, God ain't into the justification. He's into the purification. He wants to get you whole. He wants to get you pure. Because He's got plans for you. He's got things to help you to do you've never thought you could do. He's got places He'll take you you never thought you could be took. He's got things, man, that He wants to bless you with. The blessings will chase you down. I went to the pharmacy the other day for Dad. And man, I tell you, I like a good argument. I've been arguing with his insurance for a couple weeks now. And I rolled up to that pharmacy. And they said, he's actually got 2 prescriptions. Now, I've learned after working for him and living with him half my life. Now, look, The man told me he had one prescription. So if I come home with two, I better know what in the world. Why did I come home with two? Because he's very particular. And she said, oh, he's got da-da-da-da-da. Well, Teresa, the insurance said they wouldn't pay for da-da-da-da-da. Well, God's not interested in what the insurance told you they would do. Now, we got medical people in here. I was in the medical field for 13 years. I've seen God do miracles in people's lives the whole time. But you know what? The blessings of God, they'll chase you down. They'll find you. And they'll be in your life.
Amen.
I called Dad up. I said, Dad, you're never going to believe this, but that thing that I've been trying to get your insurance to pay for, about $1,500. Now, if you want to snorkel at $1,500, you snorkel at it. But $1,500 for something medical, Michelle, that's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And I said, and I drove away, Brenda, baby, and I thought, this is my thought. And I'm not glorifying Pastor, but I'm glorifying what he's let God do in his life. And I drove away, and God said, Kelly, if you can get this, if you can get this thing right in your life, you're not going to have need of anything. Because, see, the blessings that I have for you, they'll chase you down. You'll go somewhere thinking you're in need of something. They'll give it to you. You won't even have to fret over it. See, we do a lot of fretting over things. See, if we did more faith talking, more this, we wouldn't feel like we've got to fret so much about things. Amen. And it says, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, and cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded people. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Your laughter must change to mourning, and your joy to sorrow, and humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And the Bible just tells it how it is. Can you imagine being in one of them sermons where they're like, now listen up, sinner. I mean, it's almost like being in one of Dad's sermons. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, the Bible will tell it like it is to you.
That's right.
Don't trust your heart. Your heart's getting you full of it. Don't justify your sin. Acknowledge me. Acknowledge him in everything that you're doing. You know? And see, it's terrible when you get into something and it's overwhelming when you get to that feeling where you feel like, why can't I do the thing that I know is the right thing to do? That's one of the worst feelings, is when you feel like, you know, I've been there. I've thought, why can I not do the right thing in this situation? Why can I not act the way I should act? Why can I not talk the way that I should talk to this person? Well, it's because I let something deep in there fester so long, it just got up into everything. See? And let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came. See, the tempter is the devil. See, God can't tempt you. God's not like that. He's not a child abuser. See, but the devil will do anything he can do to you. And it says, the tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. See, the devil likes to play funny games with us. Well, if you're really a Christian, you won't have a problem with unforgiveness. You won't have a problem with acting things out that in your mind that you shouldn't be thinking about. See, the devil gets you thinking that you're not saved. What is saved? Then he'll go into this thing, what is saved? Nobody's saved. Then we'll get into this. You know, the devil will use the word against you, and you have to have the word in you to use it right back at him. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. See, when you're in the lowest part of your valley, the devil's there and he's saying, just let it go. Just go ahead and be full blown into your thing. See, and Jesus is saying, man, I don't live on bread alone. I live on the Word of God. What does God say about my thing that I'm going through? And He says, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. And you know, today, you probably know half of what your problem is. See, if you have something standing up in there between you and what you really want to do, it's been there for several days now.
Yeah.
Some of us months, some of us years. The real hard one, hard-headed ones, we've had this problem for years. I've told Dad sometimes, "Aunt Pat, Dad, I've got a problem. It has been there my whole life. I'm trying to get it settled. I've just now, over the course of the past year, got it figured out what it even is. I'm hard-headed." But see, God is here to help you today. God don't want you feeling hopeless, like you can't lick this. He wants you knowing that you can. Amen? And we have got 3 or 4 minutes, and there ain't nobody better than closing up one of my sermons than Pastor. So let's welcome him up here.
Boy, you've heard a good word this morning. Oh my. Romans 7:24. "Who shall deliver me this body of death?" There's something in me. It's sin that's dwelling inside. I don't want it in there. See, who's going to deliver me? Who can help me? We know the answer to that. I'm just going to ask you here while we're closing this service out for an honest moment. Now, there comes a time, hopefully, when a person wants something out of them more than they're worried about who's watching them. I'm just going to ask you an honest question. I'm going to start by saying this. If there's something in you that you want out, if you'll respond to God in faith, if you'll respond to His invitation, He will help you. How many of you, if there's anybody in here, you'd say, "Boy, there's some things inside me. I don't want them to be in there." You know, you can love God and have problems if that's you. You're saying, I need a Savior to help me with this. Now, you may be saved. There's just something in me. It's just in me. "Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman. God, help me." If that's you, and you want to let God take it out of you this morning, stand up right now. As people are standing up all over the building, I'm going to ask you that's driving down the road listening to this message, that's listening to this message by CD. Don't be surprised if you and everybody in your car has something, because everybody in this house is standing. We all need a Savior. And it doesn't end when you ask Jesus in your life. It just begins. Teresa, He just begins saving you when you ask Him in. And He saves us over and over from one thing, from another thing. How good and pleasant it is when folks can be honest with God. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else except this one thing. Everybody in here that's standing, say this. Heavenly Father, You know exactly why I'm standing. And I'm asking You, take this malady out of my spirit, out of my soul. Help me, God. I'm one of Your children. I'm between a rock and a hard place. I really need you this morning. Now lift up your hands. And I declare unto everybody in this building, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his power to deliver you, to take that thing out of you, to bless you, to help you, to give you peace and prosperity, to make you feel good about yourself again. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, I could stay longer. I could preach harder. But you know what? When it's lunchtime, it's lunchtime.